Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Daugherty, Mickey Ryan, joined by the new offensive coordinator of the University of Tennessee, Jason Swain.
Congrats, man.
Thank you.
I knew it all along. All along. I would give you the job, man. That's what I would do.
I'll take it, man. I'll take it. We'll pass it 45% of the time, and we're going to throw it 65% of the time. How about that? How about that, man? How about that, man?
Yep. Sounds good. To wide receivers from Alabama.
That's right.
100% right. Of the time.
Hey, 100% of the time.
In all seriousness, what's going on with the offensive coordinator search?
Well, from, you know, people that I talk to that I trust, that, you know, they're going to have to kind of go back to the drawing board and focus on recruiting, focus on this early signing period, and kind of figure it out from there. You know, Tennessee's been able to go out there and recruit a top quarterback in next year's class without offensive coordinator. They haven't lost any commitments, and they have not lost any guys that they're trying to recruit because they don't have offensive coordinator. So it has not really hurt them much as far as recruiting, but I'm pretty sure if you're going after some of the top receivers in the country, they would love to know what type of offense that they would probably play in. But as much as we all want to know who the offensive coordinator is going to be, it hasn't really hurt Tennessee right now not having one. They got to get the right guy. I mean, there's only one coaching vacancy available, open right now. That's OC and quarterbacks coach. So yeah. Who are you going to get that's going to come in and not bring anybody with them? That's been kind of, I think, the dilemma is that you're trying to bring someone in. We already have Will Friend. You already have David Johnson. You have Chris Lincoln, you know, running back coach. You already have everyone already pretty much set. And Brian Needham, the tight end coach. Most coordinators want to bring guys with them. And so That's why I think this thing is kind of taking as long as it has. And Pruitt will continue to get a guy that checks all the boxes.
How many guys has he wanted, Swain, where he goes, okay, let's hire this guy, but maybe it hasn't worked out for one reason or another? And I say that thinking maybe Hugh Freeze was number one in that group. Were there more?
Oh, Freeze was number one, and then it was start over.
Yeah, I think there's a few guys that he would, you know, love to have, but again, just the numbers didn't work out. The numbers didn't work out. Or the X's and O's part didn't work out. I mean, Pruitt wants to run a multiple offense where he's running the football downhill and throwing the ball downfield too with really great receivers. And most of the great play callers are head coaches. I mean, you look at Lincoln Riley, you look at Mike Bobo, you look at Lane Kiffin, all these guys, they're head coaches. They call plays. And so it's really hard to find a coordinator that's going to come in and just be by himself. So I think that's what Pruitt is being very, very careful when he's talking to coaches. Kendra Browse was a name out there, but You know, Kendra Browse needs to bring a guy with him or two guys with him. And so it's just not a fit. And that's what I think has taken Pruitt so long. And honestly, it's not affected anything to where it's hurt recruiting or anything like that. So he might as well take his time.
Yeah, and you've got some perspective there. I mean, you were a high-level recruit. I'm curious to know what the impact here is. Like, if you're visiting Tennessee, as you said, you want to know what the offense is going to look like, right? So, I mean, how much of a factor is that in terms of impeding somebody from wanting to go to Tennessee or not, just diving in?
Well, I mean, I knew the track record under Coach Former. I knew that they were going to be balanced and they had receivers that had a chance to go to the next level. And I really didn't spend much time with Randy Sanders. Didn't need him to sit down and tell me how he was going to use me really at all. I mean, I did most of my research on the kind of the style of play. And I think if Pruitt talks to these wide receivers and talks to these running backs and he lays out what his philosophies are as a head coach when he thinks about offense, I think he should be okay, to be honest. It's not like it's isn't in the Big 12 or some other conference. I mean, pretty much all the offenses in this league, they're pretty similar. I mean, the only thing that's different is the players and how athletic and how great they are. But everyone, you know, everyone is multiple. Everyone understands the importance of running the football when you need to run the football and playing complementary football to not put your defenses in compromised situations. And so I think that's why Pruitt has done a really good job recruiting, even not having offensive coordinators.
What's the latest crop of names? Because John Bryce had tweeted out some names about last week, and that included the Kendall Briles name. Is there another crop of another round of names out there now?
I have not heard of another crop of names.
Yeah.
I have not. I think, you know, we went through, you know, we went through Kendall Briles. We went through Hugh Freeze. We went through, you know, Drinkwitz, who just took the head coaching job at App State. Chip Lindsey, who crawled out of Auburn to go to Kansas.
Yeah.
I mean, we went through all those names. And so,
a guy from Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like he's staying.
Yeah.
So I have not heard any new names. I think when you look at the NFL, there's 3 weeks left in the NFL. I think Pruitt would be, I think it would be in his best interest to talk to a couple NFL OCs, guys that probably won't be returning back to their team in 2019.
Cooter and Kitchens.
I like Steve Sarkisian, too. I think that would be a guy that he should talk to. There's a fit there. There's a tie because, you know, he was there at Alabama. He's tight with Lane Kiffin. You know, we know Lane Kiffin advised Pruitt to talk to Kendall Briles. And so I would definitely talk to Steve Sarkisian if I'm Pruitt. I'm a little surprised that there has not been any communication with Matt Canada. Matt Canada is a guy that's done a really good job filling in there at Maryland. I mean, my goodness, he got Nathan Peterman drafted and, changed Nathan Peterman's game. I mean, the evidence is right there. He did not have a good stint there at LSU, but I don't know how much that was on him or on Coach Orgeron meddling with the offense and learning how to be a head coach and be hands off. I think it's worth a conversation with Matt Canada because he's one of the best coordinators in the country.
Should Tennessee fans be, like, mad, put out that this has taken so long, or should they be excited that Pruitt has this much diligence for this one search?
I think they should be somewhere in the middle, to be honest. I mean, when you look at how the Hugh Freeze thing happened, I would have preferred that due diligence being done before we actually interviewing him because it looked like there was some miscommunication. You know, you interviewed him, you probably want to get him, but then there was a hang-up, and it just looked like it wasn't kind of well planned out there. So I would have preferred the due diligence, the research, the okay to try to, you know, try to get that okay before actually going to talk to them. Tennessee fans, they're used to dysfunction. I mean, you can't really blame them. Last year's coaching search, moves made, you know, previously by Butch Jones, hiring a dude at OC who never been an offensive coordinator at the college level. His last time coaching, being a coordinator, was at the high school level. I'm talking about Larry Scott. So these fans have seen kind of bonehead hires being made, and so they're just kind of bracing themselves for another one. I mean, you look at Dooley hiring, you know, Southern Surrey. You know, never was a coordinator at a big-time program. He comes in, switches the defense to a 3-4, and that was a disaster. So you can't really blame Tennessee fans for being anxious.
Yeah.
But I think some of them are overreacting a little bit, because it has not cost Tennessee any recruits yet.
Speaking of that, do you think Tennessee fans will be surprised by a few added names, or do you think the list is the list?
I wouldn't be surprised if there's some different names. I mean, because the other names that we talked about, I mean, there are other places. I think the list is running short of people you can talk to. What I do know is that Tennessee basketball is ranked 3rd in the country, and that's when my attention has been, because they deserve probably more attention than anything else, you know, Tennessee athletic related, if you ask me.
How about Norvell Jr. going at Schofield and just lighting that fire, man?
Yeah, that's a guy that you don't, you know, he thrives off trash talk. He thrives on someone telling him he can't do anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why Rick Barnes has been so great with him and Grant, because he knows how to push those guys' buttons. Don't tell Admiral, don't tell Grant they can't do something. Don't trash talk them or they'll make you look stupid.
It's funny, if you go back and watch it, I watched it last night with my kids. They're in the free throw lane, and Norvell is just running his mouth, and Schofield just starts clapping, and you can see his body language change, and Tennessee was down 5 at that point. And then he hit a couple threes that got Tennessee tied and went from there, scored the last 11. It was fun to watch. And what a great kid, too, man. We had Rick Barnes on the other day, and he couldn't say enough great things about those two.
I love Admiral Schofield. I know, yeah. Tennessee is a football school, and football drives the train, drives the engine. I get that 100%. But this basketball team deserves the attention and the support of the Tennessee fans. I mean, they're working their tail off. Their kids are working their tail off. They're playing hard. They're playing for one another. They're unselfish, and they're good. I just decided not to spend too much time getting caught up on the offensive coordinator hire, just because, I mean, they'll hire who they're going to hire. Right. And it's not a big-time rush. And if they mess it up, then they mess it up, and then we can react then. But I think a lot of people are kind of reacting a little too soon. Let's wait till – you know, he makes a hire. Let's wait till a recruit says they didn't pick Tennessee because, you know, they didn't have offensive coordinator. That has yet to happen. I mean, honestly, they went out and got Harrison Bailey, who...
That's huge, by the way.
I mean, he picked Tennessee over Michigan, yeah. Who, and Harbaugh is a quarterback whisperer. And so that's pretty impressive if you think about it that way. But, again, I do understand the frustration, because it's not like Tennessee administration and decision makers have been great in the batter's box over the last couple of years either.
On the way out, Tennessee playing Memphis in basketball, I think they should never not play each other. I love that. They could play it in Knoxville or Memphis, or they could play it here, and it's going to be fun no matter where it is.
Saturday at 11.
I love it. I grew up as a huge Penny Hardaway fan. It's kind of hard. I want to talk trash, but I can't because I love him so much. And he's going to build himself a monster there with all those talented players from Memphis and on the AAU circuit. And so this rivalry has a chance to be special for years to come. I don't know if any game will touch the 2008 game where number 2 Tennessee beat Memphis there. That was an electric scene, and Tennessee was number 1 after that game for a few hours.
Yeah.
So Vanderbilt, Vanderbilt did their thing. I still remember Shane Foster hitting those threes, man.
Oh, my goodness.
He was unreal that night. And, Vanderbilt was just great that year, too. But, there's some good basketball in the state of Tennessee, and I think it gets overlooked sometimes because of football. But I'm looking forward to a great matchup between these two programs for years to come.
Swain, love it, man. Thanks for the visit. We'll talk with you next week, my friend.
I look forward to it. Have a good one.
All right, SwainEvitt.com is his website, at SwainEvitt. Tennessee and Memphis, 11 a.m. tip-off. All network coverage begins right here on 104.5 at 10:30.